Welcome to Don't Panic Steve, the podcast that's all about panic attacks, with me, Claire Easton, best-selling author and award-winning mental health blogger, and my mate Chris.
Just our usual disclaimer before we start, in no way is this podcast taking the piss out of mental illness. It's something that I take very seriously because I live with it. But I do think that humour can be very beneficial. Alright?
Alright.
How was your week?
Yeah, it's been alright.
Not like him. He's been here for the last like 20 minutes. I've not asked you a single question. Like, save it.
Yeah.
Now you can answer.
Yeah, we don't speak until the microphone goes on.
Got any, you know, we need all the comedy gold we can get.
Yeah. So a bit of a strange thing happened to me on the way here. I was walking up your street. It was, you know, imagine the scene. You know, it's getting a bit dark.
Picturing it.
It's, you know, there's no one around. An old woman, like a stereotypical old woman, walked past me. Sort of, you know, hunched over. One of those shit shopping bags that old people use.
Oh, like on wheels.
I don't know why they do that. But yeah, and, you know, walked past her, didn't think anything of it. And then when she got maybe 100 metres away, she just, I'm pretty sure she went, "Coward!" And I'm pretty sure it was aimed towards me. Now, I don't know what she thought I was trying to do in walking up the street, but it was quite disconcerting.
Are you sure she was, it's not like your insecurity there, thinking she said "coward," but actually she said, "Help me, I'm being attacked." Like...
Well, I hope she didn't say that, because I just carried on walking.
Did you turn around and check?
I glanced around, thinking, surely not. And she just carried on. So, you know.
She would turn around like, "You fucking what, granny?"
Yeah, so yeah, gangster granny on the way.
Gangster granny. Maybe, I don't know. Yes. So let's crack on, eh? I thought I'd start by talking a little bit about my blog, in case you don't know about me and who I am. Obviously, my name is Claire Easton, and I write the award-winning blog We're All Mad Here, and it's also been turned into a book. I started the blog in 2013 after my nervous breakdown, and when I was in recovery, there was nothing out there that wasn't littered with like medical jargon or complicated, just really, really overcomplicated explanation for things that I can summarise in a sentence. That was one. Or the other option was incredibly bleak personal stories from people who, bless them, have the right to talk about what they've gone through, but it wasn't a good thing for me to read when I was very vulnerable.
Makes you feel worse.
Yeah. It's like, you know, if you Google symptoms and cancer comes up.
Yeah.
Even if you just say, "I've got like toe ache."
Yeah, so you Google anxiety and the absolute worst examples come up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't left the house in 5 years and yeah. I was, oh my God, this is me. So I thought, I'm going to start, as I recover, if I recover, I'm going to start writing this down in language that everyone can understand and stuff everyone can do. And that's really how the podcast was born, because I want to do something similar for panic attacks, because I don't think we're at that level yet where people will talk about them without, I call the look.
The look.
You'll have never seen the look. You've actually never given it to me. But I think it's because you've grown up with this, me seeing me like this. When you talk about something like that,
yeah.
And you see the discomfort in their eyes, it's a moment of, oh shit, this person's going to go there.
Yeah. I think it's probably people just don't know a lot about it, so it's, you know, it's uncomfortable for them to speak about it.
It's even more uncomfortable for the person it well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, you bring it up and you think, right, so I tend to go off topic and leave it because they're not comfortable, but I want to make it comfortable.
Yeah.
And that's where you come in as the everyday man.
Yes, the Hurley, as I said in the last episode.
So, yeah, in every podcast episode, we're going to kind of focus on a theme of panic, and then I'll kind of tell you a story about one that happened to me, and see if Chris survives.
I think it'll be all
right. Right, speaking of, we're going to start off this week with fight or flight. And I'm not going to really talk about this because I know it, I live it, but I'm interested to see what Chris has found out.
Well, you sent me a couple of things to read beforehand.
Forceful links.
Yeah, yeah, read this or else. But yeah.
Or else. Who says that? That's such a 90s threat. Or else. Yeah. It's like, be there, be square. Or be, never mind.
But like, yeah, so I've read a couple of things, and I knew a bit already based on our previous conversations. And so my understanding of it is that it's the body's response. So flight or fight, I can't even speak.
Come on, breathe.
Start again. Flight or fight.
Fight or flight.
Oh, God.
To be honest, it doesn't matter which way you say it. But...
No, it doesn't. It's the body's response to, you know, feeling that there's a threat, essentially.
Yeah.
So, you know, coming from, you know, our ancestors, where there was, there might be a big threat in terms of a wild animal that's about to eat you. So, you know, it's your body's response to pump you with adrenaline, essentially getting you to either run away
mm-hmm.
or stay where you are and pretend essentially that you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
And in kind of modern terms, it's maybe an overreaction to your body thinking that there's a threat when actually there's not at all.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting there because you've straight away picked up on the third one, which is freeze. It's the original, the actual label is fight, flight or freeze because, you know, people say I was so frightened I couldn't move.
Yeah.
Which... I've never understood because I've never had that one. Mine's usually the flight. It's all about the flight. Like, get the hell out of that situation now.
Yeah.
So, have you ever frozen with fear?
I mean, I've read this in books where they say they froze with fear,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, it's not something I've ever. Is it? Does it happen? Is it?
Yeah, it really does. Some people become paralysed with fear.
Right.
And it's the body trying to protect you because it thinks if you just stay still, it might go away. Or it might not see you, you know, whatever the threat is.
Yeah, I suppose it makes sense.
By which point I'm halfway to, like, Australia, so I'm running that fast. But never the fight.
I did read something quite interesting, which I thought you might like when I was reading through that.
Yeah.
Is that they said that actually, you know, fight or flight was a good thing in our ancestors, and that's the reason why it's stayed around, because, you know, the people who had that the strongest survived, because if there was a, you know, an animal coming your way that was about to eat you,
yeah.
and you ran away as fast as you could, then, you know, they were more likely to survive, so those genes were passed on.
So it's kind of the instinct, you mean, like, I spot a threat before anybody else does.
Yeah, essentially.
I like that.
Yeah.
I thought
you'd enjoy that.
I do, because I've always said, if the apocalypse comes, I'll be all over that. I'll be able to sniff it before anybody else.
Yeah.
Like, finally, I can use my superpowers that have been of no use so far.
So you're looking forward to the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
For that, if I really have to find a silver lining, I'll go on then. What did you? I mean, could you relate to any of it? You know, can you understand in a position where maybe that went wrong?
Yeah, I kind of. What I think what I related to was the fact that, you know, your body can feel something before you almost realise that you're feeling it. If that makes sense. So. But, you know, you might be at work and things are getting, you know, you've got a lot going on and stuff. And, yeah, you kind of feel the physical, you know, the heart going, the, you know, it's kind of anxiety symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, that's before you realise, actually, yeah, I'm not really coping with this.
Yeah.
You know, something needs to change. So, yeah, I could identify with it in that way.
Do you ever, I mean, an example I often give to people is, you know... You see a spider before you've seen it, if that makes sense.
Spider sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you walk into a room, and you know the second before you see a spider with your eyes, you know it's there.
Oh, yeah. I know before I've seen it. Yeah. How many? Six senses, isn't there?
Yeah.
Hang on, how many senses?
I mean, there aren't actually six senses.
Five senses.
Five, yeah.
I was thinking of the film.
Unless you can see ghosts.
So, yeah, that's my sixth sense. Spider sense, I think.
But... Just to clarify, not as in he knows when someone's in trouble, he literally knows when
just when there's a spider in the room.
There was a spider in the house through the weekend, by the way, when Dan was away.
And what did you do?
I've done this. Like, every time I have this conversation with you and you laugh, but I was close. I nearly rang the police and said there's an intruder in the house.
You'd be on these lists that they publish sometimes of the most ridiculous 999 calls.
It was huge. Seriously, it was massive. And I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do because... I can't go to sleep knowing that's in the house, but I don't know if I can kill it because I have to feel the crunch and I'm not catching it.
What a lovely sentence.
I know.
If we're going to name these podcasts,
feel the crunch
is definitely the name of this one.
In the end, I actually half killed it, which was worse.
Yeah, well, it's worse for you and the spider.
I threw something at it, hit it, And just as I was going to go for it again, it crawled under the fireplace.
Oh, that's the worst, that when it disappears.
And all I could think of was something I read about how the carnivorous, dead, like a spider corpse will attract bigger
spiders.
Yeah,
I've heard that. You probably told me.
Probably, yeah. But linking it back to the podcast, yeah, it's that. And how the body is this magnificent mix of things like that. You know, it senses something before you've actually seen it.
Yeah.
Or I would say, some people get triggered by a smell.
Yeah.
Or a noise.
Yeah.
But fight or flight is, I like to call it malfunctioning. I think it's a lot of the world kind of changed faster than the brain could evolve.
Well, it takes a long time, doesn't it, for the brain to evolve.
And have you ever been in a situation when you were being told off for something that wasn't your fault, like an unreasonable boss or...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. You know, you're being told off by someone for something that wasn't your fault. That could be an example of a threat.
Yeah. I wish I'd thought of some examples now.
No, it's all right. I threw that on you. Not to your person, because your boss isn't going to, club you over the edge.
Yeah.
But, I have. Christ, remember... He who shall not be named, because he is dead now. And
Voldemort.
When I worked for Voldemort, it wasn't didn't. No, I used to work for this small publisher, and
oh yeah, yeah.
The guy. Do I say his name? I probably shouldn't, just in case.
This is what I'm. Yeah.
Right, I won't say his name. If you worked in the industry, you'll know who it is. He was pushing. I think he was in his early 80s. Don't hold me to that. And he had a bit of a reputation for being a bully. And he would shout at you within 2 inches away from your face. And I'm like, that's a threat to your person.
Well, yeah.
Not physically, but emotionally. That's an absolute battering. I think I mentioned in another podcast, when I feel threatened, I use a posh voice. I do. So I stood up and said, you, sir, are a bully. And I think it's best that I leave. And walked outside and probably burst into tears. So that's kind of my, predator moment of... You're being attacked.
Yeah, even though you know that physically you're not under any kind of threat.
Yeah. And a panic attack, fight or flight symptoms, happens when you're not in any danger whatsoever. You know, nobody's shouting at you. You're not being chased by something, but it's triggered. And because you can't find the source of it, you logically look for, oh shit, I'm in danger, it kind of perpetuates it even more. Because you can't find the reason.
Yeah, and I can imagine, correct me if I'm wrong, that you kind of start blaming yourself for it and thinking, well, it's obviously me. I'm to blame for this.
Yeah, it is. I mean, do you know any of the physical symptoms of fight or flight?
Yeah, I read them.
did you actually read them?
Yeah, no, I did. I really did.
I never know when I send you stuff. So. I thought you were just going to try and wing it. I totally do. You flight. So
yeah, you fight, flight, or freeze. What more do you want to know? The heart rate increase, the sort of feeling of the adrenaline pumping through your veins.
Yeah.
Tell me some more. Sweating.
Sweating's one.
Yeah.
Yeah. You talked about it earlier. You said focus on your breath.
Yes.
Breathing. You can't breathe.
Yeah, can't breathe. Is there more? Obviously not read it as closely as I thought I did.
There's the ones that they... No, you shouldn't. You wouldn't. If you knew all this, I'd be like, Christ, I've been to work today. What, you should have read too much. The ones everybody knows, the most popular ones. Can I say that? The most popular
symptoms. Popular is probably not the right word.
Most common or widely known symptoms of a panic attack. They're heart palpitations and difficulty breathing. Because they're the most aggressive symptoms that kind of demand your attention. When actually... Sweating, as you said, is one. Heavy limbs, feeling like you can't move your arms and legs. Dizziness, nausea, dry mouth. There's loads. Yeah. There's because it's too much adrenaline and fear.
Yeah. I think I've had the dizziness one before.
Oh, really?
Because I've never had a panic attack, but I think that's the closest symptom I've had of, the best way to describe it is when something happens that... you see it as a threat. So when you mentioned about maybe something at work or whatever, and in that moment when you realise that this person is saying this to you and you're not expecting it, a feeling of lightheaded, dizziness.
Right.
So
it's shock, isn't it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, for me, it's never, you know, translated into a full panic attack, but I can imagine that's kind of a feeling of one of the symptoms.
No, it is, and it's another fact for people, you might not know this. Certain symptoms, such as lightheadedness, nausea, and I think, I would say dizziness is kind of the same. If you feel like your limbs, so your tongue swelling, these are all caused by shallow breathing. They're not a symptom of the panic attack itself. It's because you're not breathing enough. So, because when you're hyperventilating, you're not kind of, you're not getting enough carbon dioxide, which keeps everything balanced.
Yeah.
So when you think about it, you're going, and you can't, it kind of makes you feel dizzy.
Mm.
So I find that really interesting. I'm like, oh, okay. So when that's happening to me, I'm like, you need to regulate your breathing.
Yeah, yeah. You've got good tips for that, haven't you?
I could write a book. Hey.
Book number three.
But I mean, when I was going to focus on what scared me the most was the heavy limbs. Because I thought, oh my God, I'm going, you know, paralysed.
Yeah.
Which is not the medical term, going paralysed. Sorry. it scared the shit out of me because I'm like, I can't lift my arms. Like, I could if I really tried. And because of these symptoms, it's why I did a lot of research into what the hell, what there must be a use for these.
Yeah.
Why would they just randomly happen? There must be a use. And it turns out there is.
Yeah.
heavy limbs is a result of veins retreating deeper into your system so that if you are struck by a predator, you've got less of a chance of bleeding to death.
Oh, right.
Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
The body is fucking amazing. Sweat is to make you slippery so that a predator getting a bit excited. Like, it's knowledge. I'm very, very aroused by knowledge.
Caught that a bit out.
It's to make you slippery so that if a predator does try and grab you, you can slip away.
Yeah.
It's little bits and pieces
like that. It is strange. They seem like the symptoms, you can see why they are there, where they came from, and yet they have absolutely no real application in modern life, do they?
Alas, not. Would have been a great, you know, prehistoric woman.
Yeah.
I really do think that. I would have been, like, all over this.
Is that what you'd do if you could go back in time, or if you had a time machine? Go back in time and see if you could survive.
Do you know what, I might, as long as you did it with me and it was a competition.
I'd be dead within the first 5 minutes.
I know, because I'd be like, ha! And then I'd be like, shit, because I'm on my own. Oh, so, but did you find that interesting?
Yeah, yeah. Do you mean the what you've just said, or the things I was reading?
All of it.
Or the whole thing?
The whole thing.
Yeah, no, it is interesting. Like I say, it's the fact that this sort of stuff has been around for millions of years.
Yeah.
You know, it's just interesting how it's developed.
Yeah. Now it's become redundant.
Yes.
Terrible. So I thought this would kind of lead us on to, I'll tell you a story about my second panic attack, because it's kind of very focused on the physical symptoms. It's when I really, really noticed them.
Mm.
Now, I'm not going to do it in chronological order in every episode, but in this week's, it makes sense. So last week I had my first attack when all this stuff happened and I ran out of the building after talking like Jane Austen. Now, that evening when I got when Dan got home, I was still massively on edge, as you would be.
Yeah.
And I think it was aftershock, but I was like, okay, right. I remember ringing my mum, as you do, whenever you're in trouble. And then she was talking to me and I was trying to explain what happened and I couldn't really remember it apart from I thought I was going to die or go crazy. That's it. I couldn't really put my finger on anything. And within minutes of talking about it, and she was saying to me, oh gosh, that sounds terrible. And I felt it coming again.
Right.
And I felt it happening in the pit of my stomach and it was like rising.
Do you think it was because you were reliving it?
Yeah, definitely. Mm. I mean, it was waiting for an excuse.
Yeah.
It's like one of those really annoying people at weddings or gatherings who's like looking to pick a fight and you're just waiting for you to say something like,
yeah.
Who do you support? Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I can think of a few candidates for that.
It's like that, you know, once you've had one attack, you will have another, unfortunately. Yeah. And I felt it in the pit of my stomach and it exploded again. And I couldn't speak. I was on the phone to my mum, And I just, everything went blank.
Mm.
And my heart was going again. I couldn't catch my breath. And that's when I really noticed the heavy limbs.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't move my arms. And I said, Mum, I'm going to have to go. And hung up. Stormed into the living room where Dan was playing on his Xbox with his headset on because he's very sexy little. Anyway, so I stormed in and I just said something along the lines of something's wrong. And he was like, right. And I, for a second, I could see he was thinking about whether or not to leave because it was a live game and he can't pause it, which is very important, apparently.
Well, yeah.
Like, we're on a mission or something.
You've got to weigh up, you know, is it worth it, aren't you?
Is it worth letting the team down?
Yeah.
And then he kind of, I don't know, I must have, well, I know I started running around the living room and then obviously he turned it off pretty sharpishly because she's like, she's finally cracked. something he says at least once a week. This one was the most aggressive, I'd say, out of them, because the reality had hit that I didn't know what it was and I couldn't stop it.
Yeah.
And rather than thinking I was going to die this time, because I thought I probably won't because I didn't in the last one, I thought, I'm never going to be able to work again. I'm never going to be able to leave this. All this random stuff from the corners of my brain was like attacking me. And I couldn't, obviously couldn't breathe. And I was lay on the floor, rolling around, like maybe that'll stop it. And like nothing would stop it. And I was obsessed with the idea that I was going to forget how to speak.
Well, yeah. Yeah, no, I can. It sounds awful.
I know. Sorry, I'm trying to do, like, make light of it, but this one's pretty...
Well, yeah, but you can't really, can you, with something like...
Not always. I mean, I think I mentioned last episode, at this point, we kind of rang Andy, who was useless, but we still didn't let him go.
Miss Andy.
I do wish we could have a reunion sometimes, like...
They might hear this, you never know.
Do you reckon he, like... saw me at one point on telly or something and was like, oh my god, that's that bird who rang saying she was going to chuck herself out the window and it'd be my fault because, you know.
It is something that would live in your memory, so, you know, it's entirely possible.
Maybe. Maybe we'll meet one day, you know, in a retirement home or something and I can help him out through an attack. Except he didn't help me. But anyway, yeah. And I thought, I can't speak. And obviously Dan was saying to me, well, you're speaking now. And I was like, shut the fuck up, I don't know how to speak.
Trying to use logic in this situation.
Desperately trying to use logic. And I remember like having tingly fingers. And I was like, hang on a minute, I think I'm having a stroke. And that one lasted, well, actually, it probably lasted 15 minutes because they tend to last that long. And then, but then another one would start.
Right, okay.
So it was like a glorious 2 hours of... terror.
Wow, that sounds awful.
Yeah.
it's the only word I can think of.
It was pretty shit, and I don't think I've ever been that frightened in my entire life. So when you feel like that, and obviously use Google.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a good idea.
And the term panic attack was being kind of bandied about on there, but I was like, this isn't that.
Mm.
How can you be so blasé in your explanation of it? Like.
Yeah, I think the sort of term panic attacks been used a bit like OCD, you know, like people say, oh, I'm a bit OCD, and the reality is if you had OCD you would, you know, say, well, what you've got definitely isn't that, you know.
At this point, if you can hear someone drinking, that's the dog.
that isn't me.
Quite a big gulp there. Jeez.
Yeah, I imagine someone who actually had OCD would say, yeah, just because you like your, you know, DVDs in alphabetical order, that is not.
No, it's not. It's not. I mean, I think that, again, it's a lack of understanding, isn't it? It's the amount of people who say I'm having a panic attack, and I'm like, But I don't hold that against... You might think I would. A lot of people in my community are a stickler for language.
Yeah.
I am to a certain extent, but then I also know, as long as it comes from a place of respect and, you know, ignorance almost.
Yeah.
It's... I don't take offence to it. I'm the woman who uses the word mad and crazy as much as she
can. Yeah, you can't really take offence, can you?
Because I want to try and normalise it, you know? It shouldn't be a word that's like, oh, God. Barking is my new favourite one.
Barking. You're going to incorporate into the title of the next book.
I suppose I could.
We're all barking here.
That sounds a little bit like, you know, I've started a dog walking service.
Yeah, I can see that on the side of a van.
I am thinking of doing that, you know?
Or get in a van.
Yeah, becoming a serial killer. I'm going to get a mattress in the back.
We're all barking here on the side. Perfect.
No, if, you know, the freelance thing goes tits up, I'm thinking of starting a dog, like a dog sitting service, but for shy doggies.
For shy dogs, right.
Because, you know, Rigby's, well, she's shy, that's polite. She's rubbish and I adore her for it.
I didn't know there was a, you know, they had personality differences like that. But this is from a, this is from a man who, you know, is, I'll be honest with you, I'm a cat person. As you know this already.
I know, and I try not to hold it against
and,
you.
But cats do, by and large, have the same personality.
Oh my God. Can we quote you on that? No, all cats have the same personality.
Yeah, they do. I know I sound a bit like Cal Pilkington, but, it, but that's the good thing about cats is that, you know, when the day comes and they, you know, they're not around anymore, you just get another one and it's got the same personality.
Oh my God. Like a hamster, basically.
Yeah, like that episode of Black Mirror where she clones her boyfriend.
Oh yeah. Does she do that? Oh yeah, she does, doesn't she? And then,
yeah.
It's weird when they're having sex.
Yeah.
I know, you can last forever. Well, what should she then say? You can stop now. No, that was weird.
I've never thought of it, to be honest.
That did bring up a lot of questions about bereavement, though.
Mm.
Which I also find fascinating how we deal with that. We don't cope well with the death.
Yeah.
Well, in the UK, not so much the person, because obviously it's horrendous, but other people, I think you have about 2 weeks, and then they want you to be over it.
Yeah, yeah. You tend, from work, you tend to get like a couple of weeks off, don't you? And then it's like, right.
You're over it now. No. Oh, right, so.
Yeah, we've gone off on a slight tangent. Again.
She, no, the animal, all animals have different personalities, and it's when you're around them you see it.
Yeah. No, I didn't really mean personality. I just meant, you know, different shyness levels. I thought, you know, dogs, you know.
Well, I am going to start a shy doggy walking group, watch this space, because some are more boisterous. I've had doggies in my life who are like that, and then she just isn't. And I've seen other dogs who are the same, perhaps older ones. It's starting to sound like an advert, isn't it? So just call this, follow me on Instagram, and if I ever start it, I'll let you know. But fight or flight.
Yes, that's what the point of this podcast is. Not we're all barking here.
It's now that I've kind of lived with panic for so many years, I recognise its uses, so it's not quite as terrifying to me as perhaps it has been in the past.
Yeah,
it's more embarrassing, but I'll focus on that in another episode. Vulnerability, I think.
I'm looking forward to that episode already.
Good, because I've got all this reading and loads of books. it can be pretty aggressive, and I thought I'd kind of end today's episode by giving you kind of a little bit of a trick for dealing with it. I can't do loads, but I thought I'll do one each week. Maybe you can kind of compile them. It's ones that I've learned as I go. And I can teach Chris in case, you know.
I was going to say, she means you, the listener in this, rather than me.
Well, you never know. You might have one.
Well, I could do. I'm very well armed if I do have one.
You could just ring me and you'd be like, oh, yeah. My God, it's happening. And I'd be like, yes!
I know, you'd be glad, wouldn't you?
I'd be like, I will coach you through this. It's going to be fine. Rather than have what I had, which was, oh, my God, she's
Andy.
Dying.
Don't be Andy.
Oh, God. Right. Now, let me start by saying, this is a question that I hope you get the answer right. Do you like feeling afraid? Do you enjoy it?
No.
Exactly.
Is that the right answer?
Yeah.
Good.
A lot of things we can deal with, even sadness or anger to an extent, but we absolutely cannot tolerate fear. Humans, we don't like it. We want to get rid of it. Like that clicked and it didn't work.
Yeah, that doesn't work on a podcast, does it? Like this.
Oops. Can you click?
Can I click? I've always thought, in fact, no, I'm not going to say that.
Please, go
ahead. No.
I need you to. I'll edit it out, don't worry.
I've always thought that I'm an unusually good clicker.
Really?
I've always imagined that I could do, like, I imagined doing a CD of clicking, of clicking songs. And then I thought you could get people involved, you could get other people involved.
Oh. Oh my God, like, what's the word I'm looking for here? Cameo clickers.
Yeah, yeah.
Go on.
Can't believe I've just said that when it's been recorded. Well, no, yeah, that's the thing, I've set myself up now and it's,
I mean,
you know.
Look out for that, so we're all barking here and Chris's classic clicking. Oh, that's a tongue twister.
Chris's classic clicking.
CD. CD? You're the bloody hell. Oh my God, we've got to get it on CD.
Even iTunes doesn't exist anymore. You're well behind the times.
I know. Anyway, yes, nobody likes to feel afraid. We want to get rid of it as fast as we can. So that naturally translates to a panic attack, which is the biggest dose of fear you're ever going to get. And we look for ways to get rid of it. And the most common way is to try and suppress it, try and fight it off. Be like, no, stop it, there's nothing to be afraid of. This isn't happening, I don't want it. That kind of the thing that goes through your head. So you kind of, you know, you hold yourself tense. You might accidentally hold your breath more and not realise you're doing it, or the opposite, overbreathe. Like, if I can just get a bit more oxygen, it'll cure it. Ironically, this is the worst thing you can do because it's only going to strengthen it. I'm trying to think of an example of that. Something, the more you fight it, the bigger it gets. Fire?
The more you fight it, the bigger it gets. Sounds like it's like a riddle.
I just think my mind's going really dodgy now. Yeah, snowball. But yeah, who fights a snowball?
Not me.
You're too busy looking. Well, yeah, it's like fanning the flames, so to speak. There you go.
Yeah.
The harder you fan, you know, the bigger the flames get.
Yeah.
Yeah. So actually, the best thing to do, which is the hardest thing to do, is accept that it's happening to you.
Mm.
Which I know you'll be listening to this, being like, "Are you fucking serious?" Like, yeah, I'll just accept it. How do I do that? Well, don't worry, because I'm going to tell you, Chris. Try and think of it as a wave that's crashing over you. It's really powerful, and there's nothing you can do about it, and it'll be a lot faster if you just let it crash.
Mm.
I tend to talk to myself in my head. If I'm on my own, I'll say it out loud. If you can look in a mirror, even better, but if you can't, that's fine. And I tend to say to myself, you know what this is? It's a panic attack, and it's scary and awful. But you're not going to die, and you're not going to going crazy. Both going to... Did I say that right?
I'm not going to crazy, I
think you said. In the accent.
I don't know where the accent came from.
I'm not going to crazy.
Yeah, I don't know what accent that was supposed to be.
Yeah, are you not going to go crazy? Both of those are impossible. You just... I mean, say just. You feel afraid. Mm-hmm. And in the same way that it came, it will go.
I find the mirror thing quite interesting, because I can imagine that there's a lot going on inside and in your head, and you look at yourself in a mirror and you realise it's not real, it's not there,
yeah.
It's not physical.
That's exactly it. Nothing, you know, you don't look, like steam isn't coming out your ears.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a kind of way to, I find it like a voice of authority if you're looking yourself in the eye and speaking.
Yeah.
Like, listen to me. So, but then again, I am not embarrassed about talking to myself at all.
Yeah.
Do you ever do it?
I do it less than most, I've noticed.
Okay.
Because I've worked with a lot of people who talk to themselves, and it's like a compulsion. They always apologise for it, and it genuinely doesn't bother me at all, because I'm very good at just switching off. But yeah, it's not something I do, because I'm a bit too self-conscious for that, I think.
You are, aren't you? I've been having this conversation about how I sometimes lie down across... both seats on the train and go to sleep, and you were mortified.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember that conversation, but I am mortified again. I don't know how you could do that.
When you travel a lot and you think, oh, I'm knackered or something.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to do it.
But I know you wouldn't.
I just wouldn't do it. Yeah.
In the same way I've seen you not ask for a coat when you're cold or...
Yes, that is quite a common one. That a lot of people who know me will identify with that.
You're so English.
Yes, aggressively English.
Right, well, I think that's probably a good place to stop. Next week, I think we'll talk about vulnerability. If you can hear digging, that's Rigby.
That's me.
That's Chris. He's trying to get out.
Let me out.
And thank you very much.
Thank you. See you later.
What a peculiar place to have a party.